This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Mountain Valley Pipeline has doubled in cost since it first began and is years behind. Even as it is almost ready, there have been problems getting everything finished.
A lot of these violations stem from the lack of erosion control and sediment getting into the rivers and streams that the pipeline crosses.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. A medical facility in West Virginia's Eastern Panhandle has temporarily closed its operating rooms. Jack Walker explains why.
Berkeley Medical Center suspended use of its operating rooms Tuesday after severe flooding damaged the facility. Operated by WVU Medicine, the facility will temporarily only admit trauma, obstetric, and emergency surgery cases. The facility is redirecting some patients to its outpatient surgery center, as well as the Jefferson Medical Center, which is located roughly 20 miles away. Berkeley Medical Center has opened a command center to evaluate patient needs and coordinate facility referrals. A timeline for the facility's repair has not yet been announced. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
With the summer tick season comes the increased risk for Lyme disease. West Virginia has been designated as a high-incidence Lyme disease state since 2017. Lyme disease is caused by a bacterial infection following the bite of a black-legged tick. Common symptoms can include an expanding skin rash, oftentimes in a target shape, fatigue, headaches, joint swelling, and fever. If left untreated, Lyme disease could spread to the heart, joints, and nervous system. The best prevention for Lyme disease is to remain vigilant when outdoors and to take the proper precautions when returning inside. Early detection and removal of ticks is crucial. Ticks must be attached for 24 hours or more to be able to transmit Lyme disease. The appointed watchdog of the West Virginia foster care system has resigned, effective June 6th. Emily Rice has more.
Pamela Woodman Kaler was West Virginia's first foster care ombudsman, a position created by the legislature to advocate for the rights of foster children, investigate and resolve complaints, and more. Elizabeth Hardy will serve as the acting office director, foster care ombudsman, in her place. News of Pamela Woodman Kaler's resignation garnered praise for her work ethic in a difficult field, but left some wondering if the ombudsman is encumbered by outside influences. An April deposition of former deputy secretary of the previous Department of Health and Human Resources, Jeremiah Samples, was made public last week. In it, he testified that the ombudsman faced threats from the previous secretary and was not provided adequate information for investigations. Kelly Caseman is the executive director of Think Kids West Virginia, a statewide advocacy group focused on the health and well-being of West Virginia's children. Caseman was one of the advocates pushing for the creation of an ombudsman.
I think that whatever transparency issues, which are clearly the case, we're seeing that in so many different ways, that we have to ensure that the new ombudsman has that space and opportunity, whether to share what this person is learning in the position.
During his regular media briefing, Governor Jim Justice praised Woodman Kaler's work and questioned the legitimacy of Sample's claims. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. More than 25 million children across the United States ride the school bus each day, according to the National Transportation Safety Board. But these vehicles emit greenhouse gases that can harm both the environment and public health. To address this, federal officials are encouraging schools to switch to electric buses. Jack Walker reports that new funds aim to help four West Virginia school districts do just that.
This week, the United States Environmental Protection Agency granted West Virginia nearly $2 million in rebates for the purchase of clean school buses, all of which will be electric vehicles. The funding comes as part of a national rebate program for school districts making the switch to eco-friendly buses. In a virtual press briefing Tuesday, EPA Administrator Michael Regan described the program as a national priority.
We're advancing environmental justice and helping level the playing field for children who suffer from the higher rates of respiratory issues and other health conditions because of the air they breathe. When we prioritize the health and well-being of our children, we're not just making a difference in their lives, but we're also setting the foundation for a safer, healthier, and more sustainable planet.
West Virginia's slice of the rebate is just a fraction of the $900 million provided by the EPA this year. The state's funds will go toward four different school districts. Calhoun, McDowell, and Summers counties will each receive a rebate to purchase one clean school bus, and Randolph County will purchase two. Efforts to convert West Virginia school districts to eco-friendly school buses stretch beyond this latest round of funding. In January, the EPA granted Green Power Motor Company more than $18 million to build 47 electric school buses in its South Charleston facility, slated for nine different school districts across the state. During Tuesday's briefing, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Natalie Quillian said creating new union jobs through the construction of electric vehicles was an added perk for the Biden administration.
Not only is this funding providing cleaner air, it's also helping tackle climate change and creating good-paying union jobs in electric school bus manufacturing.
But not all Americans back the transition to electric vehicles, including some West Virginians. New federal standards that limit carbon emissions from gasoline-powered vehicles drew criticism from Senator Joe Manchin, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, and U.S. Representative Alex Mooney in March. The lawmakers expressed concern that an abrupt switch to electric vehicles would place undue burden on American consumers and potentially force them to rely on vehicles produced abroad. When asked whether federal interventions, like the rebate program, are necessary to make a full switch to electric vehicles nationally, Regan said that he didn't want to get into local politics and that the program has been popular across the country.
We're going on year three. Each year, our program is oversubscribed. And so we have a lot of demand out there for electric school buses.
The Clean School Bus Program was established in 2021 with funding for 5 years of operation. Since then, Regan said that the EPA has helped fund the purchase of approximately 8,500 electric and low-emission school buses by roughly 1,000 school districts across the country. For school districts in West Virginia and beyond, rebates won't come immediately. Schools must first buy the vehicles themselves, then send the EPA documentation of the purchase. EPA officials said there is no singular timeline for when school districts will receive their new buses, but that purchases are likely to be made over the next several months. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. Highs in the 60s and 70s. Clear tonight with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Symphony. Presenting AVN Corporation Symphony Sunday on June 2nd on the lawn at the University of Charleston. Tickets and information at wvsymphony.org. The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story about the Mountain Valley Pipeline in an interview with WVPB's Curtis Tate.
A As a controversial natural gas pipeline nears completion, questions remain about its safety. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. Last summer, the U.S. Supreme Court removed an obstacle to completing the long-delayed Mountain Valley Pipeline. The 303-mile-long pipeline, which starts in West Virginia, will transport natural gas from the region, including Pennsylvania, to southern Virginia. The company building the pipeline, Equitrans Midstream, announced earlier this year it's merging with Pittsburgh-based EQT, which is actually its original parent company. But the pipeline has had environmental problems. It's been fined by Virginia regulators for dozens of violations.
A lot of these violations stem from the lack of erosion control and sediment getting into the rivers and streams that the pipeline crosses.
Curtis Tate has been following the story for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I asked him about the early May hydro test that the pipeline failed.
So what they do is they pump water into the pipe under pressure. It's called hydrostatic testing. It is supposed to demonstrate the pipeline's integrity and to expose any flaws that need to be fixed before the pipeline actually enters service. And what happened in Bent Mountain and Roanoke County, Virginia on May 1st is that a portion of the pipe actually burst under this water pressure, releasing an unknown volume of municipal water and also sediment into adjoining property. This was right at the entrance to the Blue Ridge Parkway. The Department of Environmental Quality didn't publicly say anything about this incident at first, nor did the pipeline builder. The only reason we knew about it at first is because one of the local landowners reported it to DEQ and it went into their incident database. But we're not really sure how much ultimately we're going to know about why this section of pipe failed. The residents there said that particular pipe was installed in 2018, so it had been in place for roughly 6 years.
I know that you spoke with the head of the advocacy group Pipeline Safety Trust. What are their concerns about the pipeline?
Well, they are concerned about this hydrostatic test failure. That organization was, of course, founded on in the wake of a tragic pipeline failure in Washington State. They're concerned because this is, a pipeline that's going to be carrying as much as 2 billion cubic feet of gas a day under high pressure over some very rugged and remote terrain. Many advocacy groups had urged FERC to deny MVP the permit to begin operations. The Pipeline Safety Trust didn't do that, but it did say that the federal regulators, including FERC and PHMSA, should take a very close look at what happened there at Bent Mountain and just make absolutely sure that this pipeline's integrity is not compromised.
What are the next steps? When is the pipeline scheduled to go online?
Right. Well, it's actually supposed to be in service right now, or at least that's what the company said would happen, that they expected a late May startup. But they last week reported that they still had to finish a certain number of welds, maybe 10 out of, 51,000, something like that, and had to complete the testing. But they said that the testing, again, that water pressure testing was 99% complete across 303 miles. And so they were asking for a roughly early June in-service declaration or approval.
Curtis Tate is the energy and environment reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. There's more about the Mountain Valley Pipeline at AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, and Liz McCormick. Eric Douglas produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.